Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, everybody? I'm Phil Perry. Welcome in to the Next Pats podcast. We have an alternative Patriots team building approach to dig into today, courtesy of Mike Tannenbaum, longtime NFL executive co-founder of the 33rd team. We had Joe Banner on a few weeks ago, again, part of that 33rd team group that they have there that's doing great work over on that website. But Mike Tannenbaum, longtime NFL exec, worked under Bill Belichick as a player personnel assistant back in 1995, was with Bill Belichick with the Jets. In the late 90s, he was general manager of the Jets, held a number of different positions for the Jets, also executive vice president of football ops for the Dolphins. And great to get his perspective on how to build this thing up again, because he is somebody who has spent time with Bill Belichick. He is part of the Belichick tree to a degree. And to hear him discuss how the team could potentially attack its offseason approach, I find to be really, really fascinating, especially since it doesn't necessarily jive with some of the things that I think a lot of us would like to see the Patriots do. So you want to see the Patriots go get a true number one on the outside? You want to see them load up on offense to help Mac Jones? Not sure you're going to love this conversation. You want to see the Patriots keep J.C. Jackson, no matter the cost, because he's that good, because he turns the ball over? You are going to like this conversation. Maybe you're going to love parts, you're going to hate parts. I don't know, but it is an outside fresh perspective for us. And again, a very valuable one because of the background that Mike Tannenbaum has. So let's get into that conversation right now. Without further ado, Mike Tannenbaum, the 33rd team. You see his work on ESPN. He's from Needham. He went to UMass. He's a local guy. We're happy to have him with us on Next Pats. All right. Very excited now to have Needham's own, UMass's own, Mike Tannenbaum, longtime NFL executive, co-founder of the 33rd team, the 33rdteam.com. We've mentioned that website before many times on this podcast. Mike, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Phil. How you doing?
Doing great. This is a really fun time of year. Now the Super Bowl is in our rear view. It's fresh in our rear view, and we can look ahead to all the team building aspects that we love to look into, all these team building topics that we love digging into with people like you, Mike. And I should ask you right off the bat, with the Super Bowl come and gone just about 48 hours ago or so, what was your biggest takeaway as someone who has sat in the seats that you have sat in terms of looking at those two teams that made it to that final game and projecting out and looking ahead? Is there something that you as a team builder take away from that game moving forward and say to yourself, teams across the league have to do this to make sure that they're getting into that final game?
Yeah, Phil, great to be with you. Look, if Cincinnati had an average line or even like a below average line, they would be Super Bowl champions. You know, you can't get sacked 19 times in four games and still come out on top. It's just, it's hard to do. And they have a great team in a lot of spots, but, you know, show me a good offensive line and I'll show you a good team. And to their credit, they got as far as they did, but they really need to address that offensive line.
When you look at it, does it have to be the type of thing with that offensive line? Does it have to be the type of thing where you need a highly paid left tackle to be a very good football team in this league? Or is it one of those sort of chain link systems where as long as you don't have one incredibly weak link, you should be okay there?
Yeah, I would say, you know, there used to be more of a sort of like division between the left tackle who was sort of like great feet and a good athlete. The right side was a little bit more of the power side. So you know, for years, guys like at New England, like Matt Light was more of a classic left tackle. The Sebastian Vollmers were more the classic right tackle. Trent Brown, more of a right tackle. But the way the game is now, where everything is spread and gun, it's really about, you know, can you effectuate pass blocking for 2 to 3 seconds? And if you can do that, you can play in the league. Now, with that said, some teams do emphasize a little bit more of the bigger power zone gap schemes, like, you know, where you can still try to run downhill some of those hardball runs. But more and more of the league is going to that outside zone space, passing the ball. So, you know, I think there's much more of a premium on athleticism and footwork than there was even 5-7 years ago.
The receiver position and how that thing has evolved is interesting as well. And especially when we're looking at this Patriots offense, Mike, and the system that they've had here for a long time, which you know very well, you know, the things that they value might be a little bit different than the things that other teams and other offenses and other schemes value. Why is that position one that, in your opinion, can be really difficult to scout and to project coming from the college game to the pro game? Because the Patriots have had some difficulty as far as that one goes.
Where do you think New Orleans had their difficulties?
Well, the N'Keal Harry pick is the one that stands out. It feels like that big X receiver, you know, that I think it's something that they would like to have. They just haven't really nailed it.
Yeah, because I think in some ways, you know, they've done a great job of developing others, you know, so, and I know there's a lot of been about their second round receivers, but to me, it's really about, you know, scheme fit. And again, like when we say receiver now, it's not even a one size fits all approach, because N'Keal Harry is going to play, you know, Jacoby Myers, they're going to move him around a little bit more. You want Harry, you want a big physical guy who can win one-on-one outside to the extent you can, because that's going to draw coverage. That should hopefully bring another safety out of the box where they got to play over the top. And look, I liked N'Keal Harry too. I thought he was Anquan Boldin coming out. Now, he doesn't have the great elite speed. You know, that's what our game is, and that's what our game will pay. You know, Jamar Chase, for example. You know, you just go back to last year's draft, Jalen Waddle. You know, those are the guys that are going to be the premium guys. So I think if you say there's a flaw in Harry's game, you would say it's speed, like creating separation, because he is a little bit of a build-up speed guy. He's not quick twitch, but he is big, physical, and tough. So that to me is you really need to have a great understanding of how they project into your offense. And look, New England's got a lot more decisions right in the draft than they have it.
No doubt. You don't have the kind of success that they've had over the years without drafting really well, especially in spurts. And it looks like last year's draft was a great one. Mac Jones and Christian Barmore and Ramondre Stevenson. And Stevenson is somebody who's going to be one of these guys that run game is founded on. And the Patriots, because their offense is the way it is, Mike, it just feels like we here in New England are all looking at it and saying, man, if they could just get a big play guy down the field at that receiver position, and that opens things up for the run game. Maybe defenses have to play them a different way because they have that threat on the outside or down the field. Do you look at it similarly, or to you, can they get by with, say, Nelson Agholor playing that spot that we're talking about?
Yeah, I think you can find explosive plays in your offense in other places. You know, Kansas City is a great example. Look, Tyreek Hill is a great home run hitter, but you know, they get explosives from Travis Kelce, obviously, and their running game and, you know, their quick game and their screen game. So I think you can find explosive plays in your offense beyond the receiver position. Now, with that said, yeah, would every team want a game changer? Absolutely. But you can, that's really what you want your offense to be, though, ways to generate big explosive plays. And look, I'm not saying he's Travis Kelce, but someone like Hunter Henry is a really good player at the tight end position that can make chunk plays between the numbers. And I think he's a foundational piece. Agholor, he's been good. I don't know if he's elite. I don't know if he's consistent. And certainly they can add another receiver there for sure.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Mike, I want to ask you sort of big picture. It looks like in the coming years, we're going to have another cap explosion. The cap, you know, outside of this COVID impacted year that they've had, it's just so steadily increasing year after year after year. How do you think that will change when it eventually does explode? The way the league does business, will we see more creative contracts, you know, maybe even this offseason, people pushing money out because they're anticipating this cap explosion? The reason I ask is because the Patriots are, unlike last year, it looks like they're going to be down towards the bottom of the league in terms of available cap space going into this offseason. So they may have to get creative, because some of the positions that we're talking about them maybe looking into, receiver, corner, tackle, those tend to be pretty expensive spots. So is there something that you're anticipating coming down the pike here this offseason in terms of how teams are handling their finances, just based on the fact that they know they're going to have more cap room to play with in the next couple of years?
So here's what I would say about that. I think more of the money is going to go to fewer of the players. And what I mean by that, you know, we could just go to Joe Burrow, Aaron Rodgers, you know, any of these A play. Patrick Mahomes could walk in tomorrow and say, hey, guess what? We did my contract 18 months ago. I want a raise. What are they going to say? No. So those elite players, you know, we're hearing, hey, is Aaron Donald going to retire? No. If Aaron Donald wants a big raise, they're going to give it to him. So I think while the increase in the cap is somewhat predictable as we come out of the pandemic, the gambling revenues come online. But I think more fundamentally, I think this is a star-driven league. Look, nobody proved that more than the Rams did 48 hours ago. So while it will provide some relief, certainly initially, I think longer term, the macro trends to me is the A players will certainly benefit more than anybody else.
And the quarterback market, I guess, could then get a little bit out of control if it's not already. How do you view that, Mike, as it stands right now with that position? Because it does feel like the numbers are getting so astronomically high that it might make it difficult for teams to build around good quarterbacks the way they want to. Do you think that it's going to plateau at some point? Is everybody just going to be basing everything off this Mahomes deal and you know, nobody's going to exceed what Patrick Mahomes got? How do you view that spot moving forward in the NFL?
Yeah, I think it's a great problem to have. You know, if you have a Mahomes or a Rodgers or, you know, Tom Brady, when you want to, you know, market rate deals, like, it's a great problem to have. I think more fundamentally, you have to say, what can we win without? You know, is it a second receiver? Is it the guard, the safety, a third linebacker? You know, those are, to me, the value choices you have to make. And to me, like I've said this recently, like, I would move on from T. Higgins if I was Cincinnati, if I had to get another meaningful piece on the offensive line. Now, because of their cap situation, they probably shouldn't have to do that. But the point being is you can't pay them all, and you got to figure out what positions you have to have. And in Cincy's case, you have to fix the offensive line.
The last thing I want to ask you here, Mike, talking about you can't pay them all, but there are some positions that matter a little bit more than others. One of the most expensive positions in the league right now is corner. And the Patriots are facing a really interesting decision this offseason with J.C. Jackson, where do you sign him to a long-term deal? Do you franchise tag him and then try to sign him? Do you just let him walk the way they did with Malcolm Butler or Trey Flowers? What would you do if you were faced with this call?
You got to keep him. You know, he turns the ball over. You pay a premium for that. You know, they obviously let Stephon Gilmore go. I think this guy is, he can play elite man-to-man. He has good feet, but more importantly, he has ball skills. And to me, that's, you know, very important as you talk about who to pay and who not to pay. So you let one go, you keep this one. And then, you know, again, you just keep drafting and developing. And Coach Belichick, you know, he has a great eye for these down the line guys, going back to, you know, the Malcolm Butlers of the world. You know, I work with Coach at the Jets, and we saw like guys like Ray Mickens, who are small, undersized third round picks. He did an incredible job of maximizing their value. So you don't pay them all, but, you know, J.C. Jackson to me is one that you do pay.
Really interesting offseason ahead for the New England Patriots. Mike Tannenbaum, thanks so much for being with us here on Next Pats to discuss it a little bit.
Thanks, Phil. Really appreciate it.
There you have it. There's Mike Tannenbaum. He had places to be. The alarm's going off. The guy is a mover and a shaker. You know who else is a mover and a shaker? It's J.C. Jackson, and he knows it. He knows he is the top corner on the market this offseason, one of the most highly paid positions across the NFL. Is he going to break into that Jalen Ramsey territory? $20 plus million a year? Or does he even just bump right up against that? Is that where the Patriots want to be? Can they prevent him from getting to the open market? I don't think so, unless they give him the franchise tag, and maybe that's what they decide to do. Is it J.C. Jackson gets tagged? They try to work out a long-term deal. They work out that long-term deal. Maybe they can bump that cap number down in 2022 when they need a little bit of space, and they can push some numbers out toward the future when, again, every team across the NFL is going to have more money to play with because the money flowing into the league via some of these TV deals is going to be so significant. Maybe that's how they play it. I have been thinking that maybe they'll just let him walk. Maybe this is a Malcolm Butler situation all over again. Or maybe this is a tag and trade situation. We haven't seen one of those here in a long time. But the tag and trade scenarios that have played out in the NFL over the course of the last several years have proven to be pretty beneficial to the teams dealing away their tagged stars. You're talking at least a second round pick coming back. In some cases, you're talking about a first round pick. In multiple cases, you're talking about multiple picks coming back to the original team. So if you don't think you can keep a guy because he's going to be too expensive and you want to be able to pay other parts of your roster, the tag and trade route isn't necessarily a bad one to take, especially again this year, because of the absolute dearth of cornerback talent available in free agency. Maybe the Patriots spot a cornerback, needy team or two or three, and they say, if we tag J.C. Jackson for just about $17 million, one of these other teams is going to be willing to take him off our hands and maybe send us a nice draft pick in return, whether it's for this year or next year. You just ramp up that whole compensatory pick process sometimes. We've seen that happen. They weren't going to pay Jamie Collins. They traded him. They only got a third round pick back. People said, well, you barely helped yourself at all in terms of the compensatory value that you would have gotten free agency. Well, yeah. Yeah, but you get the pick a year earlier. You have to wait a full year before you get that comp pick. You're not always guaranteed to get a comp pick because we know that's based on free agents lost and gained. So if you want that comp pick, you can't go out and sign a bunch of free agents because then that might cancel out your comp pick. You might not get anything for a guy that you're going to lose. So there are a variety of different routes to take, but I just find the J.C. Jackson contract to be the most interesting decision facing the Patriots this offseason. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money to tag him. It's a lot of money to tag him and then sign him to a long-term deal. It's a lot of money to let him get to free agency and then maybe try to get him back somehow. J.C. Jackson likes it here. I can tell you that with confidence. He likes it here in New England. He likes Bill Belichick, especially this year. My understanding is Bill Belichick was laid back, man. You know, Ted Johnson, give him credit for the chill Bill slogan, which he's been using the last few years here. But I've spoken to players that feel like he enjoyed himself this year. Bill Belichick did. I think it's a new challenge. I think working with a young team, a new team, reinvigorated Bill Belichick, maybe to a degree. I think he had fun this year, and I think it helped his players have fun. Of course, they didn't want to end the season the way they did. That wasn't fun for them. But J.C. Jackson is among those who has enjoyed his time here, especially recently. Likes the coaching staff, likes his teammates. Does that mean he's going to be willing to give the Patriots a little bit of a discount when it comes to the negotiating table and what gets said there? I don't think so. Again, I mentioned this on the last podcast, but my understanding is J.C. Jackson was offered a contract last season, midseason. That contract offer was rebuffed. And so here they are now. Not a whole lot in the way of negotiation lately, is my understanding. And so we'll see. Deadlines spur action. And so I wouldn't anticipate long-term contract negotiations to get kicked back up again because if you're J.C. Jackson at this point, what I wouldn't say what's the point, but kind of what's the point? You've already made it to free agency. The Patriots are either going to tag you and then try to sign you, or they're going to let you walk. Either way, you have to do all you can. If you're J.C. Jackson and his representatives, you have to do all you can to figure out what's out there for you on the open market. And the next few weeks will be big for that. The combine starts March 1st through March 7th. we know, even though that's well before the league year officially begins, there are all kinds of conversations happening between agents and teams, agents and players, teams and players, teams making their intentions known, players finding out what their value is. Doesn't all happen during the legal tampering period a couple days before the start of free agency, a couple days before the official start of the league new year. We know that. So we'll see what JC Jackson's value is to the Patriots, but if that's what the Patriots do, that is a big first domino to fall. If you pay JC Jackson, you ain't paying a big name receiver to go live on the outside for Mac Jones. So my Hollywood script offseason for the Patriots that we put out last week, where they had Allen Robinson coming to them via free agency, well, that's out the window in all likelihood if they end up signing JC Jackson. And it sounded like Mike Tannenbaum, you know, based on his understanding of this offense and how you can find explosive plays elsewhere, you know, even investing an early draft pick in a receiver might not be the way to go. Maybe in the first round. This, I think, is sort of what our conversation would lead me to believe. Maybe the best route, according to Mike, would be to go with the offensive line early in the draft. You don't have a starting right tackle now unless it's Mike Owenu. Trent Brown scheduled to hit free agency. Ted Karras is scheduled to be a free agent. Isaiah Wynn is in the last year of his contract. They picked up that fifth year option, so he's got $10 million guaranteed coming his way. So he might not be going anywhere this year, but next year, do they want to keep him? They want to lock him up to a long-term, highly paid extension? That's a hard one for me to believe right now that they would be comfortable doing that. Maybe he has a tremendous year next year. But right now, investing in that tackle position seems like a pretty good idea because you might have two new tackles in 2023 compared to the two guys that you played in 2021. So maybe Mike Tannenbaum's onto something. It's just a little bit of an alternative approach. That's what we want to provide you all on this podcast. Other ways of thinking, different avenues to take. It's all about strategy this time of year. Team building strategy. It's why it's one of my favorite times of the entire NFL calendar. That's why I'm fired up for the draft. Go back to our last Next Pats episode. You're going to get almost a full first round mock on the pod itself. You got to go to NBCSportsBoston.com to get the entire thing, all the write-ups on all the players, the reasoning for each and every pick. But we hit that mock draft hard. Got the Patriots taking a big time playmaker on the outside, Treylon Burks. Not sure that's what Mike Tannenbaum would do, but that's okay. That's why we like having these conversations. Helps force us to think in some different ways. So really appreciate Mike coming on the podcast. Again, check out all the great work being done on the 33rd team. .com. You're going to see Mike Tannenbaum all over the place on ESPN. Hugely valuable voice, again, especially this time of year. So we're thrilled he was able to spend some time with us on Next Pats. Guys, we have plenty more interviews to throw your way. A lot of them we were able to collect during the Super Bowl week, during that buildup to the Super Bowl out in LA. We've got a former MVP lined up. We've got a two-time Super Bowl champion with your New England Patriots lined up. We have a former Mac Jones teammate, current NFL stud receiver lined up. So long story short, a lot of content for your ear holes. We really appreciate you guys tuning in to this week's episode with Tannenbaum, to Monday's episode with Jay Glazer. Go back and check that one out if you haven't already. And make sure, please, 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 make sure you're keeping an eye out for all the future Next Pats content we have coming your way. Thanks again for checking this out, guys. We'll talk to you very soon.